It's The Good Life, where we discuss all that is good. Food, drink, travel, adventure, sport, money, entertainment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy The Good Life.
This is James Strong with The Good Life. Your life is good. It's the weekend. Time to relax. Time to enjoy yourself. Time to think to yourself, what do I want to be when I grow up? Maybe a quarterback, maybe a baseball player, maybe how about a motion picture director and movie actress? But then you think to yourself, no, that could never happen. That just happens in people's dreams. Well, that's not necessarily the case. On The Good Life today, we have the producer and director of the just finished motion picture, The Year After Infection, Antonio Greco, and his star, Trinka. Antonio, Trinka, welcome to The Good Life.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. The film, it's called The Year After Infection. Tell us a little bit about the film, what it's about, and some of the things you did to try to make the film, a guy like you and a gal like you, things that you did to just wake up one morning and say, I want to make a film about, let's say the Z word, zombies.
Okay, well, actually, yeah, I had gotten really ill. I had the flu for several days, and I'm prone to have really bad dreams. And I literally woke up after having the flu and having one of these horrible dreams. And I tend to write these, you know, really bad dreams down because you never know where a good story is going to come from. And that's exactly how it started off. Now, originally, it had the much more humble title of Tony and Karen's Zombie Extravaganza. And I was, like I said, this really weird, disturbing dream. And it was one of those things that had stuck with me. And then it kind of came down to, you know, well, I'm going to write this story. And then this story became this script. And then this script became, you know, something else entirely different. But yeah, I mean, that was really how it started. I literally just woke up and the story had already happened in my head, so I figured I might as well do something with it.
Did you realize that's exactly how Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
No, I had no idea, actually.
He was ill. He woke up from a terrible nightmare, wrote everything down, said, here's a story. And his wife said, this is only 6 pages long. Get back to work. And so he expanded upon it, and it turned into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which has
it's always the wife.
It's always the wife. And there's been a little bit of success accompanied with that story.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I've heard of it. So,
so Trinka, what made you wake up one morning and say, I'd like to become an actress?
I've actually been acting since elementary school.
Okay.
I was in musicals and stuff at church, and then in high school, and well, middle school and high school and everything. I'm an entertainer. You know, I like being the center of attention. But I like entertaining people. And acting was just something that I was always good at, and so I kind of would put myself in those situations where I could get a role. And I was looking at stlauditions.com one day, and I saw an audition for a zombie movie. And actually, I didn't even know it was
no,
a zombie
no,
movie.
No, we specifically right, listed it as a horror film.
Yeah, I
not
did not
a
know it was
film.
A zombie movie. So, which made it really interesting when I was auditioning, because I was supposed to be talking to a character named Roy, who is a zombie. And I didn't realize that, so I'm like, oh, am I talking to like a skeleton or like a ghost or what am I talking? Oh no, he's a zombie. Oh sure, naturally. Why didn't I think of that? I'm talking to a zombie named Roy who follows me around the garden. What? So.
So it was just you saw an ad, you applied to the ad, and lo and behold, you're the star of the film.
Yeah.
One of the stars of the film.
A little more difficult than that, but yeah.
No, she had to work for it. Don't let her kid you. She didn't. We cast for weeks on end because I needed to have the way that it was written on the page. I knew that if they didn't bring a certain, you know, if they didn't really mirror that character in real life, then it wasn't going to work.
Well, let me ask about the film so we can let the folks know. It's those who are
fans of the zombie apocalypse will understand, it's a zombie film, this is great. However, explain to those who may be scratching their heads saying, what is this all about? Tell us a little bit about the film, the plot, and why you gave it the title, The Year After Infection.
I'm a huge reader, and there's this phrase that has always stuck with me that good writer starts where a mediocre writer leaves off. And if you're a fan of zombie films or the zombie genre, they're all the same film. They're literally all the same story, where you have the outbreak and you have the group of survivors, and then you have, they figure out some way to survive for a bit, and then something happens, and then, either everything goes back to normal or everything doesn't go back to normal. And, I mean, the jump off part for this, for me, was, nobody's really addressed, okay, what if things didn't go back to normal and you had to just deal with, this is the new reality. There's no getting away from it. Nobody's coming to save you. Nothing's going to change. This is how you have to deal with it. And when I was, writing this and putting, I really wanted to do a character piece, a character study, but one of my big realizations is that if you ever talk to somebody that's had a really horrible life, they get used to it. They learn to deal with it. No matter how bad the circumstances, they always, kind of fall into this is my reality and I'm dealing with it sort of notion. And again, you never see that in a zombie film. You always see this, everybody's in mass panic mode constantly. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take the fear out of this whole thing and say, okay, it's been a year. Nothing's gone back to normal. These people have learned to deal with it one way or another. Now let's see how these people are, how much humanity is left in them.
And you've broken the film up into four sections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's each one addresses a different season. So we start off with Trinka in spring, and then we have a separate group in summer, fall, and winter. They're loosely tied together. There is overlap from one season to the next. So there is a thread that kind of carries throughout the whole thing. But each story is its own separate story. I was trying to deal with as many, different types of people as possible and really get a real reaction, a real flavor for, you know this person, you work with them in the office, this is how they're probably going to react. I treated it that way when I was writing it and when I was directing it. So, Trinka can tell you, there's literally some performances I beat out of people, just kept shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting until I got it exactly the way that I wanted it.
Well, now, one of the interesting things about this film, you talk about shooting and shooting and shooting, and you shot these on location in Franklin County and St. Charles County, much of it, correct?
And in Vandalia and also in Hannibal.
Vandalia, Missouri?
Vandalia, Illinois.
Okay.
And Hannibal, Missouri.
Okay.
So, we were all over the place. And Trinka's segment was actually in Washington. Tell them about Washington. Tell them about your particular little area.
Yes, please.
It was kind of in the middle of nowhere, which was lovely when you're doing a post-apocalyptic because you don't want a lot of noise. It was kind of a little too close to an interstate. Every once in a while,
Interstate 44, I would assume.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, the neighbors in the area really liked mowing their lawns as soon as we got there. And when one stopped, the next neighbor would start. And so there were days where we waited for hours for them to finish mowing their freaking lawns.
you just couldn't, in a very nice, kind voice, say, please, could you maybe do this tomorrow?
I think we might have tried that one or two days, but we were so angry that none of us wanted to go over and be gentle. And,
I understand.
Could she please? Because we're all going, because you can't shoot a post-apocalyptic movie with a lawnmower in the background.
Ed
just
Wood did.
Work.
Ed Wood did that all the time.
We're aspiring to be much better than that.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad to hear that.
That was one of those things. That was an issue throughout just about every location that we were dealing with.
Well, in Washington, let me get back to the location in Washington, because people listening to this show are thinking, wait a minute, I live here. It's 544 in Washington. That's close to my house. Whereabouts are we talking?
The exit that we got off on had was it a Burger King and a
gas station and Burger King, and then there was a Domino's, and then there was this really beautiful round-faced building that had been boarded up. All the windows had been boarded up, and there was no signage on that one. I don't remember that one, but it's the exit that you would take from 44 if you were heading towards, I guess, Washington proper.
I liked the gas station. We had fun times there. Tony knows exactly what I'm going to talk about. The day that I had the stage makeup on for a really nice shiner on my eye.
So this was not zombie makeup. This was
right.
This was human makeup, but
right.
Okay.
And we went to the gas station, and I decided that I was going to pretend like Tony had beat me. Like, that was why I had a black eye. And so he would come close to me, and I'd kind of flinch away from him, and I stayed as far away from him as I could, and like would give him furtive glances every once in a while to see if he was coming close. And the guys behind the counter seriously almost called the cops. Like, they're looking at us like, did you see what's going on here? Until finally we explained, and they're like, dude, we were on your side, man.
Did you tell them you were filming a picture finally?
Yes, yeah, we did eventually while we were, yeah, but before things got out of hand, we did finally say, yeah, this is just stage makeup, it's okay. He didn't actually beat me, but, oh, I had fun with that.
The actress with the black eye wandering into the filling station making up excuses as to why she has a black eye. Well, let me come back to our next section. We're going to talk more about the year after Infection, the new upcoming film. James Strong, Living the Good Life.
Classic Travel and Cruises is a full-service travel agency offering assistance with cruises, tours, all-inclusive packages, destination weddings, business trips, group travel, mission trips, and so much more. Our staff travel to the resorts and hotels we offer to our clients, which enables us to provide you with first-hand knowledge that cannot be found in brochures or a website. Classic Travel and Cruises on the Boulevard in Lake St. Louis, classictravelstl.com. Classic Travel and Cruises.
Imagine waking up on Christmas morning to a shiny new bicycle. For great Christmas gift ideas, come into Revolution Cycles. We have bicycles for your kids and bicycles for the kid in you. Pick from a great selection of bicycles by Fuji, Cannondale, Felt, and GT. Revolution Cycles also has a great selection of clothing and accessories for kids on up to the cycling enthusiast. Take advantage of our Christmas layaway. For a Christmas to remember, Revolution Cycles. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 8, Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 5. Call them at 390-9999 or online at rev-cycles.com.